traveling to another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of lard. What's that? It's not lard? Okay, let's try again. You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of food. What now? The script isn't right, man. From the top. You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of geeks. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. At the signpost up ahead, your next stop, the Technorama Zone.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Twilight Zone.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is show number 131 for August 10th, 2006.
Hey, if you agree with the opinions expressed in this show, they're mine. Otherwise, they're Chuck's.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
If this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you're a returning listener, protocol is everything. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. With me is my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm just giddy with it.
Let's get giddy.
Yo, let's get giddy with it. Jiggy with it. No, jiggy. Yeah. I'm sorry, my street cred ain't working tonight.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a talk with the captain of the B-1B bomber from EAA when we went there a week or so ago. We've got lots of hacks and strange stories, and a great way to swap books.
Yeah.
Stick with us. Yeah?
I only speak white, Chuck.
We'll be right back. On this day in tech history for August 10th, 2006. This is August 10th. It's the 222nd day of the year, in the Gregorian calendar, of course. There are only 143 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1519 that Ferdinand Magellan's five ships set sail from Seville to circumnavigate the globe. It was also on this date in 1628 that the Swedish warship Regalskeppet Vasa sinks in Stockholm Harbor after only about 20 minutes on her maiden voyage. The Smithsonian Institution is chartered on this day in 1846 by the U.S. Congress after $500,000 was given for such a purpose by scientist James Smithson. And at Augsburg, Rudolf Diesel's prime model runs on its own power for the first time on this date in 1893. Because of this, August 10th is the International Biodiesel Day. And a 5.1 kilogram, or 11.2 pounds, chondrite-type meteorite breaks into at least seven pieces and lands near the town of Archie in Cass County, Missouri, on this date in 1932. Rocket scientist Robert Goddard passes away on this date in 1945. And 3 years later, in 1948, Candid Camera makes its television debut after being on the radio for a year as Candid Microphone. It was on this date in 1990 that the Magellan space probe reaches Venus. And in 2001, the Hudson Riverway is open to traffic. The highest temperature ever recorded in the UK was on this date in 2003. It was 38.5 degrees Celsius, or 101 degrees Fahrenheit. It is the first time that the UK has recorded a temperature over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And on this date in 2003, Yuri Ivanovich Melenchenko became the first person to marry in space. And sadly, on this date, same year, 2003, the American television series Futurama ends. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Alexander Grigorievich Stolitov, the Russian physicist. Also born on this date in 1856 is William Willett, the English inventor of daylight savings time. Grumble, grumble, we all know how I feel. And finally, German physicist and Nobel Prize winner Wolfgang Paul was born on this date in 1913. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for August 10th, 2006. Welcome Rock back!
Fire! Fire!
Fire! Well, in memory of Futurama, I think we should all be wearing black armbands.
That's right. And protest your Fox affiliate.
You know, Futurama and Robert Goddard on the same day, it's just too much. I'm going to have to take the day off work.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
Let's get into the listener feedback.
Do it.
Excuse me, but it appears you have been presented with an addition to your inbox. Would you like tea and crumpets with that, my lord?
We did that one before, didn't we?
Yes, Chuck. Somebody's okay. Smart list ain't working.
Sorry. All right, first one's from Bobby Irvin about digital cameras.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hi, Chuck, I wanted to give you an update after handling a few cameras. Sounds interesting. I decided to go with the Canon Digital Rebel XT and lens kit along with the battery grip as an accessory. I didn't know they had a battery grip. Maybe that's why my hand hurt when I held on to it.
Yeah, it snapped on the bottom.
After I recover from that expenditure, I'll get a few modest lenses. It came today and I really love it. I got a so-called faster SD card, and indeed, there is no shutter lag at all. The camera in full auto mode is fast. Once I get used to it in auto mode, I'll venture out into some of the manual and creative modes.
Oh, yeah.
He also says, Chuck, I heard you on In the Trenches recently, and it was a great deal of fun. I hope to hear more host swapping sometime. That sounds hey. A little... Hey, baby.
Me and Chuck need to come to an agreement first before we start host swapping.
I'll loan you my host if you loan me yours.
Hey, do you know the I wanted to mention that the Nikon D80 came out today.
No.
They announced it today. Yep. And it's got a lot of features from, you know, the autofocusing and stuff that the D50 came out with.
Yeah.
And some of the higher end features of the D200. So it's a good middle of line camera.
How much?
Oh, we're talking like a grand, no lens.
Hey.
$1,300 with a lens. But the lens is not quite like my stock one. You know, mine came with a 70 millimeter.
Really? I thought it was like a 25 to 70.
18.
Mine was 18 to 55.
Yeah, mine was 18 to 70. And the new one's like to one something. I can't remember exactly. But it's a little bit, you know, you get a little bit more length on there.
A little bit more length. Hey, baby.
It's not the length, it's how you use it.
The next one's from Charles Stell about product reviews. He says, howdy, Chuck and Craig. I love this. You got to stick with me on this one. Okay. I've been looking for new goodies. A DVR. So naturally, woo! I have a plan to investigate the available options. One, decide what I need the unit to do. 2. Locate possible candidates. 3. Investigate the track record of the primary and backup choices. Doesn't sound so hard, does it? Why do websites list a product review when you get there it says, there are no product reviews for this item. Be the first to post a review for this product. Yeah, we've all seen that, right? Right?
He goes, I know why.
If I had experience using the product, I wouldn't be looking for the review. Holy cow! It takes a one-bit flag or no query response to indicate there are no reviews. Are others frustrated by this idiocy? Seems like a good argument for why marketing folks should not be involved in website design. Regards, Charles Stell.
Charles, welcome to the internet.
Web 0.1. Yeah. P.S. Ask me how I managed to kill all the telephones in Sunnyvale, California sometime. Ooh, sounds like we gotta have a follow-up story about technology gone wrong.
Him and this guy named Captain Crutch were hanging out one day, and there was a bet. Oh, man.
All right, we also have a voicemail from Mike Wills of the Riverbend Podcast.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Galaxy Quest. I watched that movie after it came out in video, and I thought it was the stupidest movie in the world. I didn't even find it funny. I just could not. I don't know. I don't remember if I even finished it or not. Probably did, but I just did not enjoy it one bit. Oh, by the way, this is Mike Wills of the Riverbend Podcast here. I just can't heard Craig talking it up. Is like, I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. But just thought I'd let you know my opinion. Bye.
Hey, it wasn't that stupid. Hey, you know, it kind of was stupid, but you know, it was a send-up kind of homage to the original series, Star Trek. So,
you know, that's the reviews I'm getting, too.
That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying. Dude, I think you'll get into it.
I got, hang on, I got another one from Martin McKay from the, forgive me, I can't remember the name of the podcast right now. He's probably got it on here. Network Security Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He says, watch it or I'll bring a copy to the Portable Media Expo.
And force you to watch it.
If you were, if you ever were the least bit of a Trekkie, you'll love this spoof. That's how he opened
up. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm good for that. So I'm getting mixed reviews, you know.
I think I started to get it for you at Walmart. It had like $10. Because it's been out for a while, you know, they had it in the 10-buck bin. I started to get it and send it to you. I probably should.
I can get it in the about the 75-cent bin in Malaysia. Four
you
ringgit.
You also get XP and Windows and Excel
ringgit.
And all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, before we take a break, I want to give a shout-out to the chat room. We've got lots of people in there tonight. We've prodded a few people with guilt sticks.
Get in there. Get.
Michelle, Jeep and Dave has made a reappearance. Jeff S., otherwise known as Gorbash. I swear, that's a Futurama character.
You know
Gorbash says hello. Yeah.
We will enslave your humans. Have a good day.
Longtime listener Joni from New Hampshire is in there. K.L. Wright, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Nibble has made a return. Say hello to Tim Elliott, Douglas E. Welch from the Career Opportunities Podcast, and Zahadoom. And we still have nobody to wish happy birthday, but somebody out there is probably having a birthday. If it's your birthday and you'd like to get on the listener birthday calendar, stop by the wiki, put your name on. I saw somebody put their name on today, but I don't remember who it was or where it was, but it wasn't in August for this week.
Well, then we won't talk about it.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Only where appropriate.
Quick break, and we'll be right back with the news.
Now, Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I just laugh my head off at these guys. I'll always download their show. When I first listened, I thought, who needs to listen to this? But then I caught the bug. Now I'm a convert and really do appreciate the time and quality that these two guys put into their podcast. It makes traveling time so much more enjoyable, and I learn from it. It's got to be good.
You're listening to Technorama.
What was that? It just went overhead. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure I'm not going crazy again.
Did I see it? Who's crazy now?
Normally, this is where we would put in the news segment, but since we have no news, we're going to have to refer to our roaming reporter, Chip Querty. Right?
That's right. Go, Chip. Chip.
Thanks.
AOL releases sensitive search data with surprising results. This is Technorama News. I'm Chip Querty reporting. This week, AOL released 3 months of aggravated data on its subscribers that were using its internet search service. Google, who provides this search functionality, and AOL users were furious. However, researchers and scientific minds were delighted. AOL users, often the butt of jokes of regular internet users, apparently working together as a collective mind, have unlocked the most elusive secrets of the universe. Researchers and scientists poring over the sampling of 3 months' worth of AOL search data have found missing data that provides conclusive answers to black holes, time travel, the human genome, evolution, and the Big Bang. This reaction from theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking.
This was the kind of break that we were looking for. My life is now complete. I am signing up for AOL now.
In other news, another batch of search data was released from AOL. This data suggests that AOL users are now preoccupied with beating the infinite number of monkeys at writing Shakespeare. Chip Querty, Technorama News.
If Hawking's on it, I'm there. Good enough.
Rock out with your hawk out.
I'm all over that. Time for
Axman's Three Stories!
With Lenny.
Okay.
All right, the first one is a story about what happens when you prank your office mates too many times. This guy is apparently an office prankster, and I don't know the history of what he all did, but apparently he went on
he
vacation, and they came back and made him a cardboard office. He had an ordinary cube, and the pictures explain it all, but in a nutshell, they took a refrigerator box and surrounded his cabinet, or his cube, put a door in it, cut windows. With magic markers, they drew on a flower box. They had a cardboard chair, a cardboard computer cardboard phone.
Look. You know what's funny? On the computer screen, he's got errors written.
Oh, yeah. They're like Windows crash errors. And then they've got a cardboard picture frame up on the shelf, like this is some stupid picture. Or, no, award for some stupid thing.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's funny is where his computer, his laptop goes, they even got a dock like I got at my desk.
Yeah, I know. They had way too much time on their hands.
The fridge.
Yeah, like a cardboard fridge with some soda in it.
That's funny.
So don't be an office prankster or this could happen to you.
Here's what it says on one of the screens. Flagrant system error. The system is down. I don't know what the heck you did, moron, but you really screwed everything up.
I couldn't read it that well. You're much better eyesight than
I am. I think I've had that Windows error.
All right. Social note-taking.
Yes, over at Lifehacker, they have a link to, I'm almost trying to say this right, Studitious.
Yeah, I couldn't pronounce it either. It's like delicious only for studious.
Yeah, and apparently you can take notes with other people and swap and share your notes, kind of like a social note-taking web application, which I think is interesting.
Interesting, but I'm not sure it's what I want to do. I don't want to share my notes.
It's like it's like secret data. You don't want
867-5309 Jenny. I'll take that.
Yep. And over at Makeazine, they have Hackaday, the website, they have a link to a guy that made his own do-it-yourself turntable, which looks pretty cool.
This looks very retro.
It does.
A lot of it is plywood and what?
Well, you know, when I first read this, at first I was like, before I got to the picture, I was like, oh, it's going to be like a paper cone with a needle stuck in the back end of it. It
says, the base and platter are made from stacks of plywood. The spindle is a Harley-Davidson shovel head intake valve and guide. The motor drive is actually a stepper motor. Precision speed control is provided by computer-generated sine waves. Wow. His home-built tone arm was what got him interested in building the entire table. Sweet.
It is sweet. I'll have to make one.
right, and from the Ridiculous Files, this reminds me of what we were talking about with that donut dunker and things a show or two ago.
Yeah.
I like this.
This is Air Acoustics. It's like what they did, was it in World War II before they had radar? Actually, radar was on its way to being developed, and this is a way for them to listen to the sky for incoming planes, and it looks like two huge aluminum
ears.
Elephant ears stuck to his head. Poor guy.
It's like half a salad bowl or something with a hole cut in it.
I mean, it's interesting. I bet you could hear for days with that.
Well, you know, but how much better you can hear when you cup your hands? This is probably like 100 times more effective than that. But it looks ridiculous.
My luck, I'd have to hurry up and get into the bathroom or something. Bam, bam, trying to get in the door.
Yeah, good luck trying to comb your hair with that thing on.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, here, cut your hair.
And we talked about the computer program that could replace podcasters. Now we've got computer programs that will replace chicken restaurant managers.
Yep. Over at Zaxby's. Are you got a Zaxby's around there?
No, I don't.
Well, we got one here in town. I may have to go and check this out. But they have, I don't know that they're doing it in all the stores. Zaxby's is a chicken restaurant. And they sell like wings and all kinds of, you know, different kinds of chicken. Well, they're experimenting with a cyber manager where it knows everything from how much cash is in, what time of the day, historical information, and it actually plans out the day for all the employees, and it knows who's there because they check in. It knows when the trashes should be emptied and how much food should be prepared or, you know, whatever as things go on. It sounds interesting, but at the same time, a little you know, scary.
They call it Hyperactive Bob.
That's what it was.
And I'm just waiting for it to come up and go, yeah, I'm going to need you to come in on Saturday. I just know Hyperactive Bob's going to ask me to come in on Saturday.
Hello, how's it going? Great. But I don't know. It's, like I said, it's interesting that it has all the information. And they liken it to MANA, which is a science fictional system proposed by Marshall Brain? Is that right? Anyway, he's got a short story talking about the same kind of machine. So,
Good stuff in the Hacks and Strange Stories. Yes, sir.
Actually, I think that could be something for Douglas E. Welch. Of course, working a chicken restaurant isn't the high-tech career I was hoping for.
Another quick break. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Here at the Center of Podcast Studies, we know the dangers of podcasting and what you should avoid. Here's a sample.
I don't know. It works. Yes, I got it back. I got every bit of it.
It's small, fast, does hex and block edits. But
oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that last time.
We're your geek morning show.
That's the thing about podcasts. We can be up anytime.
Don't listen to this while operating heavy machinery. You could spit out your water. I wonder what you'd get. Okay, I'm going to stop right there and make my comment.
Hey, wake me up when you're done.
I completely missed that one.
The writers of Back to the Future didn't see that one coming. Thanks, man. I had to think about that.
For your own research materials, visit chuckchat.com/technorama. Protect yourself.
Take your Gmail account to the next level with the Gmail Podcast. The Gmail Podcast will make you more proficient and teach you features about Gmail you may not have known. In just a few minutes, you'll learn tips and tricks that'll help you stay organized using Gmail. If you don't yet have a Gmail account, log on right now to chuckchat.com and let us know. We'll be happy to send you an invite. Get the most out of your Gmail account with the Gmail Podcast, available at chuckchat.com. You've got Gmail.
You're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama. And I'm listening to Technorama on my library PDA.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Yeah, first up in the media corner is Book Mooch. Tell me about Book Mooch, Craig. Sounds like an interesting title.
Yeah, it is actually a pretty cool site. Book Mooch, I read about today. It facilitates the almost like BitTorrent for books, if you will. And the reason I say that, because I said that on, it was, I found it on Dig, and I was like, BitTorrent for books. How in the world? Anyway, what they do is they keep a list of all the books that you want to give away and other people want to give away, and say if you're interested in one, you say, yeah, please, I want that. And the person, somebody will send, pay the postage and send it to you. And you do the same for other people. And as you do that, you get points on the website. And they keep up with ratings, I guess, kind of like eBay does.
Yeah.
They keep up with all the inventory everybody's got and kind of moves it around and stuff. So they facilitate this book sharing. But the like I said, the trick is you just pay the couple of bucks to send it out.
What's their business model? Advertising?
Well, that's what I'm not quite sure on. They just launched it, what, today or yesterday or something like that, and they had about 1,500 people already. So
okay.
I don't know. I mentioned it to my wife because I thought, you know, she reads a lot. And
oh, yeah, you know. My wife, too. In fact, I've got shelves and shelves. I could probably earn so many points. I'd get frequent flyer miles on this thing.
Come on in.
I mean, Donna would get frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. So anyway, I just thought I mentioned to my wife, and she seemed kind of interested about it, so maybe we'll check it out. I tried it with a couple of them. I thought it was pretty cool. And you know what? I bet this would be awesome for computer books.
Ooh.
Now, I know there's a cost a little bit more to send because they're a lot bigger, but
book rate isn't too bad.
What's that?
Book rate isn't too bad. You got to remember to tell the post office that you're shipping media. They call it a media rate now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I found that out when I was shipping my Podcasting for Dummies book to T. Morris and Evo Terra.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $2.90 or something to send it across. So you're going to pay $2 or $3 to send it across the country.
Well, I was thinking one of those, you know, Linux Unleashed type books. They're kind of thick.
Yeah.
You know, and after a while they go out of date. I'd hate, you know, after I'm done with it, I'm like, they just sit on my shelf. I don't really need them after, you know, a certain period of time, but somebody else might. And so I thought this would be perfect, you know, for something like that.
Yeah, programming books you want to keep referencing, but, you know, there are some you read them and then you're done.
Even after I get started on some of the program, like I had some early PHP books,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't use those anymore. But after I got going, it's fine, you know, or Python or any of those. Once you get going, you're okay. But I use them as a, jumping off point.
I'm too smart for this book. Too smart yeah. for this book.
Damn strict, Skippy.
All right. Tim John sent me a link to Google Video for some awesome precision driving. And the note that he sent along with it was, before the interweb, digital video or rendering farms. No digital effects here, people. Just a bunch of cars, some sharp driving, and a big budget. I'm wondering how many, like, crashed, went in the water. Worth watching for the amazingly skilled driving scenes. My favorite part is about 2 minutes, 35 seconds. Keep an eye out for the S-Bet. I've seen
this before.
This is incredible. How do they, you know, normally you see one car hit the skids on the slick pavement and do a spin. They have two of them spin in synchronicity. Just incredible. Or jumping over a river, they hit a boat and keep jumping over the river.
And at one point, there's like 3 or 4 cars in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Through water fountains and jumping over more cars. And
I've done that drinking, man.
Intentionally.
Yeehaw!
Just a good old boy. Never mind.
Come on, Bo.
Next story.
It looks like the Wachowskis might have control of Speed Racer, which I'm kind of mixed on. Matrix 2 and 3 weren't so hot, and I don't know. I haven't seen V for Vendetta. I heard it was pretty good. So, I don't know. I think it'd be pretty cool. You know, they're big into anime, kind of the roots that Matrix came from. So, I'm looking forward to Speed Racer. They were talking about them. They set up offices to start producing the movie. And I know, who was that was attached to play? I know a long time ago, I think it was... what's his name?
Are they thinking of making a full-length,
yeah,
full-feature anime movie? Mm-hmm. Oh, live action. Okay.
Yeah. Vince Vaughn, one time, was attached to play Racer X, you know, Speed's brother.
Yeah.
Who was the... Oh, Johnny Depp. That's what I was trying to think. They were trying to get to play Speed Racer a long time ago, which I was like, that would work. I could see that, but I don't know. We'll see. Speed Racer is close, near and dear to my heart, so I hate to trust that to anybody but myself.
Maybe. Yeah. Tell me about Monkey Bots.
Monkey Bots. They kind of go along with my Bucky Butler fantasy.
This reminds me of the Futurama that was just on.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go to college on Mars, and the little monkey with the hat gets real smart. Gunter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's in college and stuff.
I expect this little monkey to start talking in this picture.
Hey, I don't want a banana. That's been...
I say.
Well, this is some pictures from on the movie Buddy. I think it's one of those 8 movies from that the Hensons did. Jim Henson did.
Okay.
And it's some pictures of some of the animatronics that they worked on. And it's very impressive because at first picture, it kind of looks a little disturbing, but you have to realize it's not real. The monkey's face and everything is not real.
Animatronics?
Yes, it's very good.
Okay.
And, you know, it looks like, I'm serious, the face, it looks like a real monkey, but it looks like he's got his head pulled off from behind, and it's got like a robot in there. It's kind of freaky. But it's cool to look at. So, Monkey Butler's, man, I'm telling you.
Go feature. Check it out. Another Make Magazine wonderful piece of literature.
Thanks, Magazine.
We've got an audio clip from EAA when I was down there with Steve Pruitt. I played the intro on the last show. This one is a talk with the captain of the B-1B bomber. Check it out. This is cool stuff. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm Chuck Tomasi. I do an internet radio show called Technorama.
Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
My name is Mike Brosda.
Mike, do you have an official rank?
Captain.
Captain. And we are standing directly beneath a...
This is a Rockwell B-1 bomber that's now owned by Boeing. So it's stationed up at Ellsworth Air Force Base. We've got about 28 of them up there.
Is this your bird?
This isn't, nobody actually owns any particular one of them, but I do not have my name on the side of this one. Mine's back there at Ellsworth today. But we did come in on this on Monday, and we'll be leaving on Friday.
What are some interesting facts about the B-1?
Well, it was designed as a nuclear intercontinental bomber, and these days it's strictly conventional munitions only, but it was still employed real effectively in the Middle East and is still performing today. So under heavy demand, we can carry up to 50,000 pounds of weapons, 200,000 pounds of fuel, and can travel up to Mach 1.2.
That's impressive. And it also is noted for its swing wing design, correct?
That's true. We have a variable geometry wing that can swing anywhere from 15 degrees back to 67.5 degrees to allow us different capability at various speeds. So slow landing approach speeds, and very fast low-altitude penetration speeds.
They've also got some shells or ordnance of some type down here. Can you? What are those?
Paperweights. They don't belong to us.
So this does not have any gunfire capability.
No, that's not something that would be particularly useful to an aircraft of this size. They belong to the old A-10 over here with the 30-millimeter Gatling gun that they have, which is a pretty impressive weapon.
How long have you been flying the B-1?
Been in it for about 3 years now, so I've been in the Air Force for 5.
You do map of the earth flying?
We do map of the earth flying. So this has a terrain following system that'll take us down to 200 feet, anywhere from 2 to 2,000 feet, and we can then fly over the mountains at very high speed in darkness, through the weather, whatever have you, without any trouble at all.
And also, what's the steps to get into something like this? What do you start training on to build yourself up to a B-1?
Well, for the pilots, they basically start at any of the pilot training bases, and originally you fly either a T-37 over here, or you fly the T-6 Texan II, and then after that, you progress into the T-38, which is a supersonic trainer, and then following that, you move to the B-1. It takes about 2 years to get through that training before you start flying the B-1. For navigators, it takes about 2.5 years. They go through the T-34, and then move to the T-1, the T-39, and then to the B-1. And then they also have to go through electronic warfare school before coming to the B-1. So it takes a little longer, but it's a great road.
Congratulations to you, and thank you for all you've done.
Thanks for coming.
Take care.
You too.
I like that. That was fun.
That is pretty cool. That music makes me think that y'all are getting ready to get in trouble, like y'all being mischievous on the airstrip.
We use that as our EAA background music.
Yeah. It's like I could see the video y'all are looking around before you duck behind the corner and get in a plane and take off or something.
Well, he had his t-shirts and stuff, and next to him were these big, huge shells. I'd be like standing 10, 12 inches tall. I go, what are these for? He goes, those are just props. Paperweights.
Yeah.
All right. What have you been up to?
Well, you know, I mentioned this once before. Our neighbor, he's stationed in Iraq. Well, he came back, you know, a few weeks ago, and I mentioned that on the show as well. But he brought back this laptop that he wanted me to take a look at. And he had to leave. Of course, my wife brought it back. And I went to take it to work the other day, and I went to pick it up and was like, holy crap, this thing's heavy. But that thing weighed 30 pounds. It's like a brand name called Sager. Or something like that. I've never heard of it before.
Lead-lined for your radiation protection.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I put my computer bag on my shoulder, and I went and slung his on my – well, I put his on my back, and I carried it up to work, and I swear my back was killing me when I got up there. I opened it up. There's no OS on it. The thing is like – I'm not kidding you. It's about 30 pounds. It's got a huge screen. It's got a camera in the top, just like a – or like a MacBook or something like that.
Yeah,
it's got PCM SA cards. It's got every slot for just about every little media card that you can ever have. It has full inputs and outputs for sound card, 4 USB 2 FireWire.
Big enough to hold an 8-inch floppy?
You can get up there and take a nap. I mean, huge.
Like the back of a Cadillac?
But here's the... Get this now. So I'm... I boot up and I see Windows is trying to install. It's like, okay, wait. I wanted to make sure it wasn't anything on the hard drive first, just to look. So I went and popped the disk out and I looked at the disk, and it's got Arabic written all over it. I was like, okay. And it says Windows XP Gold 3 SP2. I was like, what is that?
What?
I'm gonna take a picture of it and let everybody see it. But it said Windows XP Gold 3 XP SP2. I was like, what is that? It's totally not legit. I'm going to call Microsoft. Is this legit?
I'd like to register this.
Yeah, and I was like, shh, man.
Now, you mentioned on the last show that the Technorama theme sounded kind of like the Quake theme.
Yeah.
I want to do a side-by-side comparison.
Did you go get it?
Jason was kind enough to send me, listener Jason sent me the Quake theme.
Okay.
So here is the 60-second version of our Technorama theme real quick. Just a little bit. No words or nothing.
Okay.
Okay, I think we're all pretty familiar with that by now.
Okay, yeah.
Unless you're a new listener, then welcome to the show.
This is show number... Oh, wait.
Now, here's the Quake theme. Similar.
Yeah, similar.
The Quake theme
they sound exactly alike.
Yeah, if you stick your fingers in yours and go la la la.
Hey, do you know how long it's been since I played Quake? When they come out, 95?
Somewhere around there.
76. I mean, yeah, I was right. It sounded like it, sort of.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge, you know what I mean? Normally.
Quick break, and we're back in the Geek Library. We'll be right back.
Like free software? Better yet, like free software with the power to make it something different and better for everybody? Valid Syntax is a short 10-minute podcast looking at the status of open source projects as reported at SourceForge and FreshMeat and others you might find useful for any OS. Also, with your help, we'll spotlight on each show a project of the day, editorials, and possibly have a little fun along the way. So join me twice a week for all this and more at ValidSyntax.com. Remember, without Valid Syntax, can't do anything.
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I still say they're doing this as some kind of public service for a crime they won't admit to. Oh, and back to you, Chuck and Craig.
Thanks, Karen.
Time for another break.
We will never speak of this again.
I won't tell if you won't tell.
Real quick through the Geek Library.
The Geek Library. Oh, that's my turn.
Yeah.
Hey, I know. Once again, another link over to Lifehacker. They had this cool little article talking about using Subversion on documents, and this is specifically talking about using it under Windows, which is cool, using the Tortoise SVN, which is a killer plugin. If you use Windows and you use Subversion, Tortoise SVN is the way to go. It totally integrates with Explorer, looks great, and they tell you how to make, you know, a repository and the whole works and how to operate it. It's pretty cool. So they have two articles. One's telling you setting it up. The other one is telling you how to use it. So there's a link to that.
Repository, that's not one of those things you use for hemorrhoids, is it?
No.
Okay. We're setting up a Subversion system at work. Two of them, actually.
You know what? I know you told me how to tell me how to use CVS a while back.
I've used CVS. Well, I have not used Subversion.
Well, you know what? I said, forget it. You know, I never used CVS. However, except for that rudimentary sense, downloading somebody's project off the internet. But I have been using Subversion this last week. It is beautiful. And you know what's cool is it dawned on me that tags, you know, when you tag a version of your project.
Yeah.
It's like, it was so clear to me now that a tag, all it is a copy. I was like, why was I making it harder than it should have been? I was like, well, this time I was thinking it's gonna be tough, you know, hard branches, tags. I was like, yes, all they are copies. Of course you can do merges and stuff with branches, but
yeah.
No, I mean, you use the copy command to make a tag in Subversion.
Okay.
It's that easy.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. In Subversion, making a tag or a version of your software, it's just as easy as making a copy. That's all there is to it.
One final note before we get out of here. The Geek Library is void of links from Marv. Normally we have lots of Marv links. They have now been moved to the blog. So stop by chuckchat.com/technorama or subscribe to the full feed blog feed thing.
Thingy.
Right there where it says RSS 2.0 in your favorite aggregator. And you will get all of that good stuff, too. Or just stop by the website, like I said.
Yeah, and here again, subscribe with a feed reader and an aggregate, a podcast aggregator.
Right. If you're using iTunes, you're not going to catch all that stuff. So he's putting all that cool stuff that he finds right in the blog so we can share it with everybody. It's a wonderful thing. Marv is now a contributor to the Technorama family. Thank you very much, Marv. We appreciate it.
That's right.
And with that, don't forget, I'm still pleading for pictures. Please.
Please.
If you haven't done so already, send me a picture. 800 by 600 or slightly larger would be terrific for the podcast expo. It's coming up really, really quick. I've got about 4 weeks left to put this thing together and then finalize everything and rehearse it. Yes, sir.
Shed a tear. Maybe that will help.
Just
weep.
I need your help. I need your help.
That's it. Weeping. Okay. That'll help. Anyway. So here we go, moving right along. Here's how to contact us. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. And send everything, large media files, to Chuck at chuckchat.com. It's a catch-all account. And email me at kreg@chuckchat.com. And the only constant in the universe is chuckchat.com with forum, swag, webmail, mailing list, webmail, webcam, or webcams. Well, mine's not ever on. Anyway. So all links and show notes and Marv's links and more. Audio streaming was provided by Scott Reynolds, and the chat room is also provided by the generosity of freenode.net.
Generosity? This show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more about friendsintech.com or forums.friendsintech.com for all the forums to the member shows. If you're getting this show by clicking on the link through the regular website stuff, so $19.99, ask us how to get it the new way with an aggregator and get it delivered to you for free.
That's right.
Tell a friend about Technorama and they'll love you for life. Well, unless you want a really, really good friend.
Yeah.
As always, take care. Thanks for listening and a binary high five.
101. Yo!